Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, at middle age, if you haven't experienced a major uncomfortable life transition, at some point you undoubtedly will, because that's simply part of living, isn't it? Sooner or later, most all of us will be blindsided by an unexpected traumatic event that perhaps in an instant causes drastic change to our career, relationships, or our pattern of living. Sudden job loss, your employer goes out of business, your division is shut down, or for whatever reason you're just laid off. Divorce, separation, or romantic breakup, a major life-altering health issue either for you or for a loved one, a forced move, your company relocates, or you have to change jobs. Or you're, this one isn't so negative, but your youngest child leaves for college, and after 18-plus years of parenting, you're suddenly faced with the empty nest syndrome, which can certainly be traumatic. And, of course, probably the most traumatic of all, death of a spouse or a child. And maybe you haven't been impacted by a single major traumatic event, but rather a series of minor setbacks or what you now consider bad past decisions have combined to sap your confidence and have left you miserable. Whatever the cause, the unfortunate result is the same. You're so consumed with your current unhappy life situation, stuck on neutral, as I like to put it, that you're not even sure what direction you want your life to go in. And slightly less depressing, but still not good enough, you may think you know what you want in your life and what you'd like it to look like, but you're not sure how to get there. You don't even have a clue. And my guest today, Life Transitions designer Debbie Berry, is here to help. Her mission is to serve as a life coach and transition counselor for clients whose lives have taken a drastic change in an unfavorable direction, at least at the moment it appears unfavorable. It may work out for the best over time. Who knows? As Debbie puts it, her typical clients woke up one morning and their life looked one way, and by the time they went to bed that night, their life looked completely different. And if you or a loved one has experienced loss or change or simply are at rock bottom and down on life, you may be feeling hopeless, alone, and unsure of what your future holds. And you may want to move forward with life, but right now you simply don't know where you're headed and how to start. Because stay tuned, help from Debbie is on the way. And Debbie Berry started her career as an interior designer and was fascinated to observe how our environment can affect our lives. And over 30 years ago, she studied Feng Shui and became certified in interior alignment, intuitive, and space clearing. And she's also a certified both as a soul-searching coach and a law of attraction coach. And her stated mission is to inspire women, especially those going through a difficult transition, to create a vision for their lives and empowering them to live that vision. And heck, I'm certain today she can inspire some of us men also. And hello, Debbie Berry, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hello, Roy. How are you?
Well, if I was going through a dramatic life change, I most likely would seek counsel for someone who had experienced a similar challenge. And on your website, you reveal that over the past 10 years, you yourself have experienced a whole series of life-altering transitions. Can you briefly summarize some of the transitions that you went through?
Absolutely. So about 10 years ago, just like I say on what you just said, when you wake up and life's one way, yeah, went to bed, life was another. I went to work with my business partner of 30 plus years, and you know, it was a typical day. And when I left that night, he said, "I'll call you on the way home." And instead of him calling me on the way home, he passed away.
Oh, wow.
So he's my best friend. He was, I mean, he was my other half in so many ways.
Yeah.
So I found myself without a career. I found myself without my best friend to bounce what was happening in my life off on, and so on and so forth. So within a year's time span, I literally experienced 5 different deaths from my father, my grandmother, my godfather. Basically, all the men in my life passed away, which was very interesting.
Yeah.
And I decided to go out and start my own business. So that was... those were the first transitions, and they led to other transitions. I made a move. I did different things. And then as I was sort of getting my groove back, my daughter was pregnant with her third child, and this was 5 years ago, and she suffered a stroke. And I almost lost both her and my granddaughter. But my intuition, as a matter of fact, is what saved them. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong, and I literally canceled my day and went to her house. And had I not done that, they would not be here today.
Yeah, that's really frightening.
Yes, it was very, it was scary. It was, you know, I can still remember saying, God, I can't lose one more person. Please, please, please. And
people aren't supposed to have strokes. That's for a whole
time. No, no. And I didn't, to be honest with you, I mean, you know how they say know the signs of a stroke? She was having what was called eye seizures, which I didn't know, I'd never heard of, I now know about. Yeah. And I just knew she was doing something very weird with her eyes, and she ultimately lost the ability to talk, and I called 911. But I not been there, her husband wouldn't have been home for 5 more hours, and by the time he would have gotten home, that they would have been
she
gone.
She shouldn't call him because she couldn't talk, I guess.
She couldn't. No, she didn't. Yeah, she was basically sitting in a chair, and she was becoming paralyzed right in front of me, and I didn't even know it, to be honest with you. It was just I was asking her a question, and she wasn't answering me. And I asked her, can you talk? And honestly, she wasn't like moving her lips trying to talk. I don't know why I really asked her the question, and she shook her head no, and I called 911. And I'm grateful that I listened to that little voice in my head that I canceled, you know, because I had that argument, like, this is silly, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And, you know, you need to work, you need to go, you know, and but I didn't. I followed that little voice that day, and that was huge for me.
Well, what gave you the inner strength to survive and prosper during these difficult life transitions, and how were you able to provide positive support for your clients at the same time you were going through such difficult times yourself?
Well, I didn't have many clients in the beginning of my difficult times because I think that was me learning how to do this, actually. But I did a couple of things. I mean, the first key, I think, is to realize and accept what your situation is.
That's so important. So many people, when they lose a loved one or they lose their jobs or something, they bitter, they blame the company or they blame themselves for whatever, and they don't move on and start thinking about the next stage, and it's so pointless. I mean, obviously everyone grieves if they lose a loved one or something, but at some point in time it gets counterproductive if you don't move forward with what you want to do with the rest of your life.
It's a delicate balance because having lost so many people, you have to grieve. You've got to go through that process. But
for sure.
I think one of the keys for myself was I saw some of my friends who were having not even as traumatic life changes as I was having, and they were becoming bitter old women. I mean, I was bound and determined that was not who I wanted to be known as or how I wanted to live my life.
You don't want to live the rest of your life in black mourning.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it was an event that happened to me. It was not going to be how I wanted to be defined in my life. It was an event. I've always been
crucial
a survivor.
To put it that way. It's an event. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't anybody's fault necessarily. It was just an event, and if you can accept that event as it happened, let's move on. It makes a huge difference, I would think.
absolutely. And just, I can almost promise you, it may take years, but at some point you're going to see there's what I call the golden nugget. There's some little piece of something that came from that event that wouldn't have happened had the event not happened.
Yes, that's so true. I'm in my book, and I've told this story on the radio before, but I heard two women at the our church talking one Sunday, and the one woman said, you know, we just bought a new house, and my husband just lost his job. It couldn't have happened at a worse time. And the other lady said, we don't know that yet.
Exactly. Exactly, you know. And, you know, the deaths, when I look back at the deaths, it was hard, and it was, you know, I miss them still 10 years later every day.
Oh,
but I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing had these events not happened.
Yeah.
You know, so... you know, maybe this was God's way of going, you got to go in this direction now. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? We lost our daughter about 10 years ago, and she's been an inspiration to me ever since, because she was a female pilot, and I was in the Navy, and then she got out of the Navy, and she was piloting this silly banner plane over the San Diego Chargers football game, where she was intending to, and when she picked up the banner, the plane nosedived, and you can't just dwell on that. We miss her terribly, but she's been an inspiration, and I think about her often, but I don't, you know, I'm not sitting around grieving all day, because there's no point in that. But,
and it's not what she or any of our loved ones would want us to do. They don't want us to not go on living because they're not here. And that was another way I got through it, was to think, you know, well, my dad, my God, they wouldn't want me to just be curled up in a ball in a corner. They'd want me to be out doing, living life and enjoying. I'm blessed now with three grandchildren, which are a complete joy to me. You know,
send one our way. We're still waiting for our first.
There are days I could send all three.
Well, and that, I guess, was the first step, you would say, but you mentioned five steps to move forward from fear and hopelessness to positive vision and happiness. What the first step, I guess, is to accept things as they are, but what would be the subsequent steps?
So accepting reality is absolutely number one. The next one is to not get yourself caught up in the what-ifs and the should-haves.
Oh, you know, I hate the what ifs or if onlys.
If only I had done this, maybe. I mean, it's done. It's over. There's nothing.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous.
You know, it is. And then our mind spirals out of control then I could have done this. It's like, this is a complete waste of time and energy. And I'm very much about our energy, which brings me to the third step, which is to learn to become an optimist. Seek joy every day in some way. You know, it doesn't have to be huge. It can be, you know, putting a bird feeder outside and just watching the birds, you know, enjoy the bird food. Taking a walk in nature. If you go to my website, I have a free download of 40 ways to find joy again. And some of them are...
You gave us a couple of them. I love that.
Right. Well, and there's things like, you know, I mean, there's things that everybody knows of. Take a walk in nature, read a book, take a bubble bath. I mean, we all kind of know this. But I even did things like, I had clean out your closet is one, but if you wanted to take it a step further, you could go to a department store that has personal shopper and let them show you new ways of dressing that you wouldn't think of on your own, and give you a whole new kind of look.
Yeah.
You know,
because
we need to shift ourselves, and that's a way to shift ourselves.
Yeah. So that would be the third one then, is seek joy every day or become an optimist. What were the fourth and fifth steps then?
So the next step would be to find yourself an advocate. And usually I recommend a professional. It doesn't, I mean, sometimes you can have a family member or a friend who can do it, but usually because they're so close to the situation, it's tricky. Like if you're going through a divorce or something, they have predetermined ideas, and they may not know. A lot of times when these transitions happen to us in midlife, it's an opportunity for us to get back to our more authentic self of who we really are. And a lot of times our close family and friends, even though they care about us and love us very much, they don't really know who our true authentic self is because we've been doing what we think we've needed to do all these years.
Yeah, only ourselves know that sometimes even ourselves don't know our true authentic self.
Exactly.
We've been hiding it from ourselves for years.
Exactly. It's so true. So finding an advocate, finding someone who can, you know, hear you, hear where you are and where you need to be and have the steps and the tools to get you to that place.
And also to hold you accountable. It's so great to have someone, even if it's not a professional, but someone who holds you accountable so that you don't keep procrastinating doing, you know, getting going on your procedures.
Absolutely. I mean, I have a business coach, and she, you know, every 2 weeks she's like, okay, what did you do on the list that you were supposed to do? What didn't you do, and why didn't you get it done? You know, so, and it matters when I got it. I know I'm going to have to talk to her.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, yes, so finding, and it, you know, sometimes it's a therapist. I have had clients who actually have gone to therapists. They prefer the coaching kind of piece better because it's more action-oriented and
don't worry about all that scientific gobbledygook.
And how does that make you feel? And how does that make you feel? And, you know, it's like our feelings are important, but how do we get from point A to point B?
No, I'll take a coach any day over that. So what's the fifth step then?
The final step is, and this is an important one as well, to take it one day at a time. And truthfully, some days it's an hour at a time. You know, you're going to have those bad days. You're going to have those days where if someone passed away, you just miss them to the core of your being. And you're going to cry and you're just not going to get a whole lot done. And that's okay, as long as it's not every day. It's part of the grieving process. It's part, you know, so you're going to have days where you're not going to get quite as far as you want to get, but then there's going to be days where you're going to wake up and you're going to just be in the flow and get more done than you even expected. So
nothing runs smoothly every day, and you're not going to show steady improvement every day. There are always going to be those times when you have your setbacks, but it's so crucial that you overcome those with that same steadfast commitment to change your life for the better, even if you have a tough day now and then. But,
right, and allow yourself to have. I mean, there was a couple days where I just sat in a chair and didn't move, to be perfectly honest with you. When my dad died and Mike died, I was like, I'm done. And I gave myself the day, and I literally just didn't try to do much of anything. I just allowed myself to have that day.
That's great, because if you try to force yourself to be happy or force yourself to do something positive when it just isn't your day, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
Right, and the key is to make sure you're just not having too many of those days in a row. You know, it's like, okay, I gave myself that day. Now, you know, tomorrow I'm getting up, I'm getting dressed, and I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to do something. But yes, it is one day at a time, and it's a process. I mean, you know, you've been you've been thrown a major curveball in your life, and one that you didn't see coming usually. So, you know, you got to give yourself time to adjust, but you can adjust and you can go on to live I mean, 10 years after everything that I've gone through, I mean, I'm so blessed. My daughter, my actually, I live with my daughter and my grandchildren because my daughter does have some executive function issues from the stroke. But other than that, she's amazing and she's doing great. I just help her make sure that the kids get everywhere they're supposed to be. But, you know, my life's fantastic. I love my life. I love getting up every day.
That's sort of the bottom line, isn't it? We all love our life.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's but it's you got to get there. You're not going to just suddenly wake up one day and you're going to be there. It's a process.
No, of course not. On a somewhat unrelated subject, I'd like to go back to your former days of Mengishu. I can't pronounce it very well, but you tell us that our environment is everything. What do you mean by this proclamation, and how can we alter our environment to help us ensure a healthy, happy, and productive future? What should we be doing in that case?
Okay, so feng shui is an ancient Chinese art where they believe that everything holds energy. So everything in our environment then holds energy, and the way we set up our homes and things like that. And it can become a very long and involved process. But I will tell you, it just like I'm sure you walked into rooms at some point and there was an argument going on prior to you coming in and you could feel it in the room.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Exactly. Well, the same is true. I mean, I have a quick story about former client, and I had feng shui her house, and it was doing great. And she says, "Son, I don't know what's going on, but we're now always arguing at dinner." So I came over, and she had purchased a new carpet and put it in it was a throw carpet. And I asked her to move the carpet from the dining room to the living room. And interestingly enough, then they started arguing in the living room and not the dining room.
You better get rid of that carpet.
Well, and what probably happened was when the carpet was being made, whoever was making it was angry. And that energy went into that carpet. So there's ways to clear things when you have that kind of thing happening. There's ways to arrange your furniture. Like if you're sitting at your desk, you really don't want to have your back to the door unless you have a mirror where you can see the door. And it's a subconscious thing. It's just you can't see anybody coming in. So, you know, it's a subconscious thing that you don't even realize you're thinking about. But that's feng shui. I love it. It's amazing to me how true it is. I can go through somebody's house and usually tell them what's going on in their life. I can still remember this woman. I went through her house, and when I got to her master bedroom, I said, "You and your husband are having marriage problems." And she said, "How did you know that?" And I said, "Well, I just can tell." But she had boxes stacked up in the bedroom all over the place. I was like, how romantic can that be?
I hate you to come look at my office and see what a mess it's in. Who knows what you said. Well, let's say I'm here in Des Moines, Iowa, or say in Sacramento, California, Syracuse, New York, or wherever. Where would I look to find a certified feng shui and interior alignment practitioner who could help me remove that stuck energy from our home or our office or whatever? Is that something you can look for on the internet, or how do you find it?
There's a interioralignment.com, and if you go there, they have all their certified practitioners. So that's one way. You can also Google feng shui, and there's many different. That's the other thing. There's many types of feng shui. It gets even more confusing. So the most popular in America is something called the Black Hat Sect feng shui, which doesn't sound, they need a new name because I think it doesn't sound
very. No, that's the bad guys or the Black Hat.
But that's the way, that's what it's called. But that is the most popular, and it's the one most, people will say, I need a water fountain in the left-hand corner, which is why I actually went and learned soul coaching, was because people thought that they could feng shui their house and, their money problems would go away and their relationships would be fixed. And the truth of the matter is, if you're not willing to do inner work with yourself, you can feng shui your house all day long. You can fix the energy to enhance your life and to, you know, make things. And it's a subconscious thing. A real quick tip, if anybody's trying to get a relationship going, is to look around their house. I had a client. She wanted a relationship really bad, but when I went through her house, every photograph, painting, everything she had, sculpture, was of single women. There was not a, and she didn't even, I said, do you realize, like, there's not a man in any of these pictures? And she said, no. So she went out and she found, I said, you know, just don't buy something to buy something. Find something that really speaks to you, see, that is a couple. And she actually picked a very popular picture of a couple dancing on a beach. I don't know if you
and
know
6 months later, she was happily married ever after.
Well, she wasn't happily married, but she was in a relationship and seemed to be doing very well. So,
Well, let me ask you a question. You say we should choose to take control of our life, and we can then become inspired to dream a bigger dream and empowered to create and live that dream. But can you offer any suggestions on how we take control and drive out that little voice inside, the good old ego that keeps telling us we aren't strong enough to determine our own destiny, or we're not good enough, or whatever? How do we take control?
I have many tips and tricks and tools in my toolbox. Because there's different people respond to different things. It could be journaling for one person. It could be what's called EFT or tapping for another. It could be having your iPod with really great positive music on and just blasting it and dancing around the house. It just depends, you know, how you got to shift yourself out of that space that you're in. I mean, for me, one of the ways I do it is actually what I just said. My grandchildren and I have little dance parties, and I play, you know, some positive upbeat music, and it gets our day started.
Music can do a lot of good for you. I know that from my personal experience. And I think just being aware of that little voice, and, you know, when you start hearing it, being aware of what it is, and it may be trying to protect you, but it really isn't helping, is a good first start to overcoming those.
Absolutely, knowing what I mean. I think everybody, to some degree, has that "I'm not good enough" little voice in their head, in one way or another, some shape, form. I think it's being vigilant of the little voices. It's one of the things I did say is that first you have to recognize that you have a little voice, and then once you set the intention that you're going to start noticing the little voice, you'd be surprised how much you notice the little voice.
I like the way you call it, become the leading lady of your life. We always talk about becoming the CEO of you. It's really the same thing, but if you depend on someone else to make sure everything turns out great for you, that's not a very reliable to get what you want, or way to get what you want. Because who has more of your own interests in mind than you yourself? No matter how many loving partners or friends you might have. But let's talk a little bit about your coaching. How are you different from all the other life transition coaches out there? What one thing obviously is all the transitions you've experienced, but
the experience. Yes, that would be my first thing. The experience, I've gone through it. I know what the different feelings are like. I'm very, I have a step-by-step plan, but it's very individualistic for each person, because each person handles life differently and has different beliefs, and so I'm very much working with the individual about it, and depending on how much you want to work with me, to what extent. I mean, I will even include working in your house and working with the energy of your house.
Yeah.
I can do space clearings, and I don't have to. I can do them remotely.
As a matter of fact, I
do most of them remotely. So if there's been some negativity in the house, if you had a sick person in the house, that kind of thing, I can clear that energy and get that moving as well.
Yeah,
so those are three different ways that I would say I'm different. There's probably more, but that's a good start.
Now, your typical clients are women, but men also can apply, right? I mean, it's not...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I notice on your website you offer a free 30-minute coaching session, which sounds like a great deal. How could somebody access that?
If you go to the website, www.lifetransitionsdesigns, so it's transitions with an S and designs with an S, .com. They're right on the first of the home page. It says schedule an appointment with me.
Oh,
and it will take you straight to my schedule. So we're not going back and forth with the emails. You can go ahead and schedule the appointment then and there. And I will get an email saying that you scheduled. And you get a questionnaire that I ask you to fill out, because even if we never speak again, I want you to walk away with whatever your best next step for your situation is.
Well, that sounds like a deal too good to pass up. Just about everyone can use that half hour of, like you say, even if... and then if someone wants to proceed, I notice you have a couple different coaching packages you offer on your website. Breakthrough and Relief, are those the two primary
packages? Right. So Relief is just if you're really having trouble just getting out of bed in the morning and you just want to see getting a little bit of joy back and facing your day, then that would be Relief. That's a 3-month package, and then the Breakthrough is a 6-month package, and that's where we really work. First, I'm supporting you. The first thing I do when you hire me is to nurture you and support you to get you. First, you need to know you're not alone.
Yeah.
And once you understand that you're not alone, then we're going to start talking about, okay, now that this has happened, where is it that we want to go with your life? What direction do you want to take it in?
That sounds great.
And that's what we do in the breakthrough. We figure that out and then head in that direction.
Well, that sounds great. Well, in conclusion, sooner or later, if it hasn't already happened, life will throw you a curveball. And as we often reiterate on this program, we can't always control what life serves up. And I'm certain as a law of attraction coach, Debbie Berry would agree with me that a positive outlook on life and a consistently positive interactions with others in most cases help produce a favorable outcome, but occasionally bad things will happen, even to happy, contented people, events that we have no immediate control over. As the old bumper sticker states, S blank happens. We've all seen that. It's pretty stupid. But as we so often emphasize on this program, you and you alone control how you react to a difficult transition challenge. And as Debbie Berry so eloquently puts it, take the curveball life has thrown at you and hit it out of the park. And she goes on to ensure, and this is so true, that even the hardest transitions provide us with an opportunity to grow. In fact, they also provide incentive, because there's really no turning back. Like, it's so easy to do if we, I had a job one time I couldn't stand, but it took me getting laid off to really step up and find a job that I love. So that often happens, I think. And ladies, if you or a close friend or loved one has been hit hard by an unexpected and painful life change, or you simply feel stuck, unfulfilled, and unhappy, I highly recommend you go to Debbie Berry's website, lifetransitionsdesigns.com, and sign up for her free 30-minute consultation. And Debbie Berry promises you will know your best steps at the end of our call. And her promise almost makes me wish I had more problems, because it sounds like a great deal. And thank you so much, Debbie Berry, and best of success with your coaching.
Thank you, Roy. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
No problem. We always enjoy great advice like yours. Well, when I was a boy, it seemed perfectly possible to become a Major League Baseball player, a cowboy, or a rock star. What did you girls intend to be when you grew up? A movie star, fashion model? Heck, if you're Hillary Clinton, maybe president, and she's only one step from getting that, fulfilling that dream. But it's only later that reality set in. Way too many of us at middle age suffer from what I call the twin curses of lost dreams and diminished expectations. The key is to tap into your childhood-like imagination, which is still there, although it may be buried under layers of self-doubt, and then visualize a joyful, bountiful future. And who says we can't do that at middle age? We certainly can. Then do something every day that makes you laugh and stretches your imagination. Visualize continually, no longer having to scramble to pay your bills. And where would you live? How would you like to use your time, money, energy, and skills? Now reflect upon this undeniable truth. You were born with an innate capacity to establish and sustain life balance, to accomplish inner peace and joy, and to orchestrate purposeful daily living. You simply let day-to-day distractions get in the way, didn't you? And if you're unhappy and unfulfilled with certain aspects of your life today, identify those aspects and pinpoint why you're unhappy with them. More importantly, ask what you can do to make things better. And forget excuses or the blame game. What can you do? Now create your very own ideal image of a future on your terms and visualize all aspects of it. Your healthy and fit body, your career, relationships, and lifestyle, what do you sincerely want them to be? Now take that first step to move from present to future. And I know from personal experience, midlife transformation is easier said than done, but you're not under any timetable and there is no pass-fail. Here are a couple of suggestions on how to get moving. First, start small, one action plan at a time. For example, lose 10 pounds. Introduce yourself to one person you admire and always wanted to meet. Maybe a stretch, but you can do it. Dedicate 4 hours a week clearing out your home's clutter. Those are just a few possible things you can work on. Next, use your cupcake scheduling strategy. Attack the easiest challenges first. Renew with one or more individuals. That's ideal as a team. Your wife or someone you're very close to, your spouse, husband, I should say, as well as wife. Each one reporting to the other, comparing progress and asking for advice. And turn to warm, successful individuals as teammates, not to someone that complains as much as you do. And start spend time meditating each day. Don't set goals and then set them aside to collect dust. Condition yourself several times a day to take a quiet time, close your eyes, and visualize a positive ultimate outcome precisely on your terms. And then begin behaving like a winner before the final results are in. Upgrade your wardrobe, spend more time on grooming, talk to individuals you didn't want to talk to before, listen to motivational CDs, and work continually on controlling your emotions. You know, you don't have to be angry the next time someone cuts you off on the road. It really doesn't matter, does it? And please believe me, the more small successes you accomplish, the easier it becomes to make those big changes to ultimately attain the life of your dreams. With routine visualization, your subconscious mind eventually will step forward as chief architect of your favorable personal destiny, and solutions to problems will come to you like magic. Don't waste a lot of time up front trying to figure out just how you're going to solve all your problems. Just start visualizing the ultimate result, and those answers will start coming to you. That's what the self-conscious is all about. And also seek assistance from a higher power through a prayer or whatever means you think best, and because certainly it's very difficult to accomplish anything solely from the inside. And as you seek advice also from circles of cooperation with other people and a higher power, your renewed spirit will take control and you will recapture a positive zest for living. And this time you'll be in control, not dependent upon another's favor or, as some people look for, luck. You won't have to buy a lottery ticket to be successful. From this day forward, or from this day hence, forward progress is firmly in your own two hands. You are CEO of you, after all. And if you'd like to learn more about personal midlife renewal, I invite you to preview my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. It offers 18 chapters and 21 self-help exercises that will guide you step by step to a brighter tomorrow. You can preview and purchase it on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. Better yet, preview it on our website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com, where you can also obtain for free my Middle Age Renewal Training mini course. Well, that's our program for today. No more excuses now for sleepwalking through life. As the fall season is here, it's time to launch the fall season with the full intention of simplifying your life and placing yourself firmly in control, your very own interior design. And that's it for today on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com.